Well, take your copy of the scriptures, please, and turn with me to the book of Acts, the fifth book of the New Testament, and the 11th chapter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. I'll give you just a moment to find that, and we'll pick it up in verse 19 in just a moment of Acts chapter 11. While you're turning there, I want to make sure you are aware of something going on tonight in Nashville. Perhaps you've heard of some times that Brentwood Baptist and Mount Zion from Nashville are getting together to do various things to promote racial reconciliation in Nashville and Middle Tennessee. Tonight, Brentwood and Mount Zion are getting together to kind of have a joint service. Both Pastor Mike and Bishop Walker will be preaching, and both choirs are going to be getting together to sing, and that is this evening at the Old Hickory Boulevard campus, 6 p.m., so I want to make sure you are aware of that, and if you're able to go, I know you will not be disappointed if you do go. I know it'll be fun. I think it's a very important time that followers of Jesus show the world that racial reconciliation is possible. And through the blood of Jesus Christ is available and possible and something that can be done and enjoyed. And so we're just going to take another step in that direction with Mount Zion tonight at 6 o'clock. So if you can make it, I encourage you to be there for that. Hopefully you found Acts 11. We're continuing our series on Barnabas, just like Barnabas, kind of a next steps series, if you will. And just taking a next step in our journey in the life of this New Testament character. And so I'm going to ask you to stand again in honor of God's word. Pick it up with me in verse 19, and I'm going to read down through verse 26. Acts 11, beginning with verse 19, and I'll read through verse 26. Now those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. News about them reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and large numbers of people were added to the Lord. Then he went to Tarsus to search for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught large numbers. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Look at verse 25 with me again. Then he went to Tarsus to search for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught large numbers. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. I pray that you would take these next few minutes. You've already been here. You inhabit the praises of your people, but would you remain? And would you help us understand, help us to unpack layers in our hearts that keep us from following you. Bring those to the level of our minds and hearts so that we can deal with them with you and go the next step. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Well, this whole series called Just Like Barnabas is, as I said, a kind of a next step series where this campus and all of Brentwood's campuses are encouraging every Brentwood Baptist member or non-member as well. You're also invited to participate, to take your next step. We don't want anyone to just be stagnant in their relationship with Jesus or go backwards in their relationship with Jesus, but to take a next step. Perhaps you've seen these cards that are there's some in the pew rack in front of you. Maybe you've already gotten one. There's We're going to encourage all of our members to be turning one of these in towards the end of this series, November 11th and 18th, the last two Sundays of this series. As a matter of fact, Wednesday night, November 14th, Mike Glenn will be here on this campus and kind of challenging us as a campus to take our next steps. And all of these kind of relate to our mission and vision. All these relate to our Disciples Making Disciples series, Disciple Making Disciple strategy is a better word to use there. And we're just encouraging every one of you to prayerfully consider what your next step is. But I don't know if you're like me, but I see things like this, and I begin to wrestle with God. Have you ever argued with God? Maybe not you, but the person next to you. Maybe you look at some of the things on this car and be like, oh, no, that ain't that. I know Brentwood going to tell me what I need to be doing next. Or maybe it's not the contents on this car. Maybe it's something else in your own life. God reveals something to you, leads you in a certain way, nudges you a certain way, and you begin to make excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. Maybe not you, but someone you know. You ever argued with God? I'll be honest, I read this text, and last week, if you were here, we focused on 19 through 24, and this week the focus is on verses 25 and 26, and I read the text, and I'm just like, that's just so matter of fact. Luke, who wrote Acts, said, then he went, speaking of Barnabas, went to Tarsus to search for Saul. He found him, brought him back, they taught for a year, everything was great, and everybody started calling the disciples Christians. And that's just so matter of fact. I know we're heralding Barnabas as a great guy this series, and he is. I want to be more like Barnabas. But he was human. I believe he was a real flesh and blood guy that also was very human. There are other places in the Bible where we see that he just didn't do things just wonderful every time. And I wonder, did Barnabas argue with Jesus in this? You just wonder, was there any excuses that Barnabas gave God when God led him to go find Saul? I know the Bible is sufficient. I get it. I believe that. But sometimes I just wish there's a parenthesis. It's just so matter of fact. And I wonder what I would have done if I were Barnabas. You know, when God leads you to do something, it's not because he needs you. That'll bust your pride wide open, especially at church people. I remember when I was being ordained into the ministry, the preacher looked at me and said, Matt, God doesn't need you. But it's very freeing. God didn't tell Barnabas to go find Saul because God needs Barnabas. God is not needy. Oftentimes, God calls us to do things outlandish because he wants our excuses. He wants us to wrestle with him so he can unveil to us what's in our hearts. I encourage you to wrestle with God. You may walk away with a limp, but you'll be a better dude or dudette. You may. I wonder what Barnabas said to God. So the next few minutes, this is just kind of a meditation on these verses. What if, and honestly, it's probably kind of a revelation of what's in my own heart when God asks me to do crazy things. One of the excuses I would have given to God if God were to say to me, go find Saul, is, but these are my people. But these are mine. And it would have unveiled some things in my heart like pride, selfishness, my identity. I would have said, God, the church in Jerusalem sent me to Antioch. They heard that there was something going on with these Gentile believers, and they wanted to know if it was valid, and the church of Jerusalem voted me to go north to Antioch to find out if it was. I found out it was valid. I get there, and I'm starting to encourage them. I'm starting to challenge them. These are my people. Why do you want me to go get Saul? These are mine. The world's big. Somebody else needs Saul. Let me take care of these people, and let Saul take care of somebody else. That's probably what I'd have said. Or my mentality would have been, Saul can't do it like I can. Boy, we church people, we're the worst, aren't we? And if you're not a church person, that's okay. You're probably a lot better than we are. I know church people, and we can be bad. Oftentimes we think we're the only ones who can do it right, so we don't get anybody else to do it. Even when God leads us to get somebody else to do it, we don't think anybody else can do it better than we can, so we do it all ourselves. And really, it's a thing of identity that we don't want to mess with. We're humble about it, and we say, they need me. When really, God's leading us to get somebody else. I wonder if I would have said, God, these are mine. I don't want anybody else to have it. Has God ever led you to do something that you knew that if you did it, you'd have to grieve something else? When was the last time you allowed yourself to grieve one thing so you could go on to the next? Or are you still hanging on even though God's called you to the next thing? Not only would I have said to God, but these are my people, you know what else I would have done? If God would have said, Matt, or let's just pretend I'm Barnabas, go find Saul, I would have said, why can't I teach him? I'm a good teacher, ain't I? Why can't I go teach him? I mean, Barnabas was what? He was an encourager. He encouraged them and he challenged them. What did God tell Barnabas to go find Saul to do? Let me give you a hint. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught. So what did he want Saul, want to get Barnabas to go get Saul to do? Starts with T, ends with each. Teach. Yeah. You know, isn't it interesting? This is about being comfortable in your own skin. This is about accepting the fact that God's gifted you a certain way, and he calls you to use that gift, and he's gifted certain people in other ways, and he's called them to use their gifts. If it were me, I would have said, well, I can teach them. I may not be the best teacher, but I can teach them. I may not be the best at this, but I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do all these things. I don't want to go get somebody else to do it for me. And this is about being comfortable in your own skin. By the time Barnabas left Antioch to walk to Tarsus to find Saul, he had to be okay with the way God wired him. This isn't about not wanting to do things that you don't want to do. We all have to do things that we don't want to do. We all have to take out the trash. I get that. This isn't that. This is being okay with the way God's wired you. And I wonder if we've got so many burnt church people, burnt out, bitter, frustrated church people, is because we've all wanted to do all these other things that God never called us to do instead of doing the one thing he's called us to do. Do you know how God's gifted you? Do you know how God's wired you? Are you using it? Are you trying to be all things to all people? You know that story in the Bible where David was going to fight Goliath? Anybody remember that? If not, we got some great Sunday school classes for you across the way. Hopefully you know that story, whether you've grown up in church or not. You remember what Saul told David to do? Not this Saul, but the Old Testament Saul told David to do. Wear my armor. If you're going to go fight this giant, I want you to wear my armor. Well, David was just this little shepherd boy, and Saul was kind of a big dude. And he wore this heavy armor. And so Saul said, wear this to David. And David put it on, and you can just imagine. And if he had gone to battle, it would have taken away the one thing that David was good at, and that's being free to fling a rock and hit somebody right here. And David said, no, I don't want Saul's armor. I wonder how many of you have got on Saul's armor and you're trying to do something God never called you to do, and it's taken away from the one thing he's led you to do. Why can't I teach him? God could have given Barnabas the gift to teach. He obviously helped Saul, but he called Saul to do it in a unique way for the Antioch believers. Church, are you comfortable in your own skin? Are you okay with the way God's wired you? Are you hiding from the way God's wired you? It may be God leading you in a certain way, just you and him, kind of like God and Barnabas. Or it may be, kind of the simple mental text, I don't know if you saw it in your bulletin, the Exodus 17 and 18 text, where Moses was trying to lead all of Israelites' people by himself, and who walks up and says, boy, you messed up. Jethro, his father-in-law, says, what are you doing? You focus here, get other people to focus here, and it'll work so much better. I love that. And I can't help but think that when Barnabas came back and he and Saul worked together, that Barnabas never burned out, Saul never burned out, and they were able to experience the presence of God together. Church, I believe God's uniquely wired you in a certain way. If you're a follower of his, he's uniquely wired you. Be comfortable in your own skin. That's another excuse I would have given. There's a third. See, I'm bad at excuses. I know them all. Another excuse I would have given the Lord is, what if I can't find him? That's code for, I'm lazy. You know, that in verse 25 when it says they went to Tarsus to search for Saul, that word search in the original language implies extreme struggle, which meant it would have been very difficult to find Saul. Most scholars believe this is many years after his conversion, his dramatic conversion. Some scholars even believe this was 10 years after his conversion. We know Saul spent some time by himself searching the Old Testament to see, is this really true? Is Jesus really the Messiah? And he spent some time by himself in that. And then when he came out, and he was probably on a missionary journey. So probably when God called Barnabas to go find Saul, Saul was somewhere on a missionary journey. And I can just imagine God saying to me, hey, why don't you go find Saul? There's no way I could find him. I mean, think about it. This was before, get this. I'm glad you're sitting down. This is before Facebook. This was before Twitter. This was before Instagram. This was before Snapchat. This was before cell phones. This was before landlines. This was before mailboxes, before UPS, before FedEx, before Amazon. Can you imagine? This was before cars, before trucks, before trains, before planes. This was before all this. Why am I telling you that? Because it would not have been easy to find someone. He went to Tarsus. That doesn't tell us he found him in Tarsus. He might have gone to Tarsus, knocked on the door, and said, have you seen Saul? Yeah, he was here about a month ago. He was going somewhere north. You go somewhere north and you just keep looking and keep looking and keep looking and keep looking. I'll tell you exactly what Matt Pearson would have done if he had said, if the Lord had said, Matt, I want you to go find Saul. I would have said, it's too hard. And I wonder how many of you, perhaps you, even this week, God led you to something and you immediately dismissed it because it was too hard. God calls us to do things in the way he's wired us, but that doesn't mean it's easy. If you're looking for easy, well, let me just put it this way. You're following a man who took up his own cross. God calls us to do the hard things. I love the fact that God's called the church at West Franklin to do hard things. He's called us to minister to South Asians. South Asians are lost. Do you know why they're lost? Because it's hard. God's called us to reach Williamson County. You know who lives in Williamson County? Rich people. God says it's hard for a rich person to get in the kingdom of heaven. It's hard. Has God ever led you to a hard thing? Has God ever called you and you're like, no, that's too hard? Is it really revealing in your heart your laziness? Maybe you and your spouse got something going on. You probably know you need to get some marriage counseling, but you're like, no, I can't do that. I got to work. No, I can't do that. It costs too much. No, I can't do that. It's too hard. I'd have to admit that I needed help. Maybe God's calling you to take a weekend off and spend time with your child. It's too hard. Maybe God's calling you to go on a mission journey to Bangalore next year. That's what I do. I don't know about your... What would you have said if God had said, go find Saul? What do you say when God says, do this? Another excuse. I don't know how many I told you there were. There are 16. No, I'm just kidding. There are 5. This is number 4. When was the last time God led you to something where you came to a place where you had to say, I'll do it, but if you don't show up, I'm done. It won't work. When was the last time you had to say to God, if you don't show up, it won't work? Another excuse I would have given is, isn't this the guy that hates Christians? Isn't this the guy that just doesn't like Christians? This is Saul, right? Saul persecuted Christians. I don't want anything to do with him. I'm scared he may kill me. I mean, he wasn't Paul yet. This was the Saul that became Paul. This was the Saul that became Paul that wrote half the New Testament. But he didn't have that reputation then. This was the guy that grew up and was a Pharisee of Pharisees and was as religious as you could be. And he persecuted anybody in Jesus' name. And he would even trick people in Jesus' name to come find him. And then he would persecute them once he tricked them to come to him. And I would have been like, well, I am not going to that guy. He hates Christians. And so I would have given an excuse of fear. I mean, the last time we hear of Saul before Acts 11 is at the end of Acts 9. So look at it with me. Look in Acts 9. It's not the end. It's towards the middle. Look in verse 26 of Acts chapter 9. Watch this. Watch this. This is fascinating. This is the last time we see Saul and Barnabas before Acts 11 that we've been reading. Verse 26 of Acts 9 says, when he, this is Saul, when he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him since they did not believe he was a disciple. All the apostles were scared of Saul. They didn't believe it yet. Somebody was like, you go. No, you go. No, I ain't going on. You go. You chicken. Yeah, I'm chicken. Watch this, verse 27. Barnabas, however, took him and brought him to the apostles and explained to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road and that the Lord had talked to him and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. At some point, Barnabas said, I'll go. All right, I'll go. He may kill me. God's leading me to do it. This is not going to be comfortable. God's leading me to do it. I'll go. So let me ask you, has God led you to do something that's going to mess with your reputation? Has God leading you to do something that's going to mess with your life? Are you going to have a new normal if this goes through, if this works? Is God calling you to something that's going to be a little different if you do it? Is it going to impact your life? And it, could it be the reason you don't want to do it is because of fear? Is the at the root of your heart, perhaps, is it that you are scared out of your mind that if you do this, you're not going to necessarily know what's going to happen on the other side of this? Can you imagine? Somebody had to step up. All the other apostles were scared. Barnabas heard from the Lord, says, I'll go talk to him. And what was the result? The result was he went and found Saul later, got Saul and came back, and they taught all of Antioch, all these believers, the word of God. Antioch becomes one of the healthiest churches. Saul becomes Paul and writes half the New Testament. Can you imagine if Barnabas hadn't done it? What is God leading you to do? And last excuse. This is a cheap one, but I find myself giving God a similar one. And that's, What if they don't like him? It's an issue of trust. God, what if I go all the way to Tarsus? I leave these Antioch believers here by themselves, which I really don't want to do because they need me, God. I leave these believers here. I go all the way to Tarsus. It takes me several weeks to get there, several weeks to find him. I come back. It's been a month, month and a half, 2 months. And if that's it, that's if I find him in good time. And I come back and we talk and we're all excited about teaching. And then about 2 days into the teaching, they're like, we don't like him. What if they don't like him? What would you tell me if I went to you and said, God led me to do this, and what if we come back and this doesn't work out? What would you say to me? I know exactly what you'd say to me. Trust God with it. I hope you'd say that to me. I'd say that to you. Just trust him. If God's going to lead you to this, trust him that he's going to work it out. If God's going to lead you to the next thing, trust him that he's going to take care of it. Trust him that this end result will be better than it was if you hadn't have done it. Trust God with it. That's what's going on at the root of all this. And I think that's why God just forces us, if you will, or causes us to wrestle with him and argue with him. Because when we do, we see that really at the bottom, it's an issue of, do I trust you with what you're calling me to do? Do I really believe that you are really what these Antioch believers need more than me? Do I really believe, am I okay with the fact that you've given me the gift of encouragement, but you hadn't necessarily given me the gift of teaching? Am I okay with that? Do I really trust you in this? Do I really, really believe that if I put my foot out there and go talk to Saul, that even if he kills me, you're going to take care of me because I'm doing it because I'm following you? Do I really believe that? Am I okay with that? It may be hard. I may not find Saul, but if you're leading me to do it and I take that first step out of Antioch, do I really believe that you're going to be with me? That's at the root. Do you really believe God? When you see a card like next, or when God calls you to something that none of us know but you and him, do you really trust him? Are you being led by him, or are you trying to lead him? When Katie and I were debating whether or not to adopt, almost 10 years ago now, the guy that God used to confirm that he called us to adopt asked a question that I hate with all of my being. I hate this question, but it's a question I need to ask more of myself and you. Here was the question we couldn't get away from. We didn't know where, we didn't know who, we didn't know a country, we didn't know anything. But here was the question. Why not? When God leads you to something, I double dog dare you to ask why not before you say no. Why not? You want to know what's going on in your heart? You'll find it real quick. Why not? God didn't need Barnabas, church. God didn't need him. But what did Barnabas get as a result? He got to operate in his strike zone. He got to see Saul operate in his strike zone. He got to see the body of Christ work together as the two of them work together to encourage and challenge and teach the Antioch believers. And did you know that there's something that happened right in that moment that's affecting us and impacting us 2,000 years later? Guess what we call each other? Christians. And guess what started right there as a result of their teaching? Followers of Jesus were first called little Christs. Which there's a sermon in there about your teaching, not just being informational, but transformational. Their teaching led them to look different. And they became Christians. What's God calling you to do next? What's God calling you to do right now? And before you say no, let me just ask you, why not? Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this imaginative dialogue between Barnabas and you. I don't know how it went down. It's just some couple of thoughts and ways that I struggle and wrestle and argue with you, Father. And I think at the bottom of my soul, it's fear, it's a lack of trust. It's a wanting me to lead you and tell you what I'm going to do instead of being led by you. Father, I pray that you'd help me and us all learn here. Barnabas could have stayed put and not done a thing, and you could have used somebody else to get Saul. You could have used someone else to get Saul, who ultimately wrote half the New Testament. You could have done that without Barnabas. But Barnabas got to walk with you. Barnabas got to be with you, and you were with him. Barnabas got to take a step out of Antioch and enjoy your presence as he walked in faith. And Father, I think for us believers, that's really what we want, is a mysterious, exciting, invigorating relationship with you. That's day by day, step by step, but we never know. We just want to follow you. So, Father, some of us you may be calling to big things, to leave Antioch and go to Tarsus and search for Saul. For other of us, it may be a small thing, but it may seem big to our souls. It may seem small to others, but big to us. Father, you know every heart, you know every mind, you know every soul, you know everything that's going on. And I pray that you would speak to your people. May we deal with the excuses, get to the bottom of what's going on, and give us unmatched faith in who you are. Thank you, Jesus. It's in that name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to be standing down front, and there'll be some folks at these tables to my right and to my left after the service here to talk with you. You and the Lord, you and somebody in your life that are close that you want to share with, can do business with the Lord here. This altar's open. Maybe you've been here and you're like, okay, why would he even follow Jesus in the first place? I heard about a relationship with Jesus, but I didn't know you could really walk with him. Well, maybe God brought you here today because your step needs to be full surrender to Christ for the first time. We'd love to help you with that, talk with you about that. That's why we're down front. Maybe talk to somebody that you came with. It's about walking with Jesus. So I just want to urge you to be obedient these next few moments. Well, I urge you to be obedient the rest of your life. Whatever God's calling you to do now, maybe just confirm it with somebody, with yourself, with the Lord. You obey as he leads.